Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. Health, wellness, and fitness. 5 days a week.
As we're all growing older, you realize that the time comes when you have to start helping out the people that raised you. It's not always easy, and if you've ever been a caregiver for an older person, a parent, a loved one, you know how difficult and stressful it can be. But maybe even more so if you've had sort of an unusual relationship or there's been animosity in the past. And how do you get past some of that? My guest is Pamela Wilson. She's a certified senior advisor specializing in working with family and professional caregivers to navigate healthcare and aging concerns. Pamela, let's talk about parents. So, you know, if you've had a good relationship with your parents all those years and then you realize you have to sort of take care of them, it's still not easy. But I can't imagine if you've had a bad relationship, how much harder it's going to be.
Well, it is very difficult. And I talk about the fact of caregiving is a lot of love-hate relationships. It's difficult to take care of parents who maybe you felt weren't kind to you, didn't give you what you wanted as a child. And a lot of it is about setting boundaries, saying, Mom and Dad, I can do this, but I can't do that. We've got to hire other help to do things and to get siblings involved if there are other siblings.
Okay, so that's a huge thing right there. Now, Pamela, I'm the youngest of six children, and most of us are pretty close siblings. But I'm the one, my dad is 91, and my mother's passed, but yeah, he works full time. He doesn't really want my care. But when that time comes, I know that I'm the only one living around here. So what do you say to your siblings? Let's start there in getting the other family members involved and having them say, okay, I can pitch in, if not being physically present, maybe financially a little help or something.
Exactly. It's about setting roles. So we have six kids in our family. I was the baby. I got the brunt of it like you did. But what you do is you talk to your siblings and say, okay, you live across country. Can you contribute financially? Or can you come 2 weeks of your vacation a year, spend time with Mom and Dad, get their house fixed up, do other projects? Can you make phone calls? Are you willing to do other things? So it's kind of like you divvy up the caregiving among the kids who are willing, and admittedly, not every kid is going to help out.
Admittedly, yes, that's true. So you have to divvy it up. You have to figure out the ways that everybody will pitch in some ways. Otherwise, then really that animosity and negativity even builds up more. Now, what about if the parent themselves is refusing help, or you know that they need something? Or as they start to get dementia, Pamela, then they get even more, I don't have any issues, or I don't have memory issues. I mean, I see this all the time. So how do you start that conversation? What do you do?
It's a major issue in caregiving because none of us want help. You know, I'm not going to want help when I went older. So what you have to do is you have to say, Mom and Dad, two things. One, I'm the child caregiver. I can't do all this. We have to have help. Either the siblings have to help out or we have to hire somebody. Then money becomes that hot potato. The parents don't want to spend money to get care. So then what you have to do is set boundaries and say, okay, this is what I can do. I can help you 5 hours a week. Beyond that, I can't help. And you have to let the parents fail because everybody has the right to make bad decisions. So when the parents start to fail and they're falling and they're starting to have medical issues, that point they become more willing to accept help.
Really? So just as they let you fall off the bike,
yep,
you have to let them kind of do the same thing.
And it's scary when you're older because they're your parents and you think, oh my God, what if something happens? I'm going to get blamed. But we can't make our parents do anything. They still see many of us, that 16-year-old kid who fell off the bike or got in trouble, you know, driving the car.
Oh, my God. My dad still sees me as the 16-year-old getting in trouble in high school and then in college. And, oh, we don't need to go into my therapy. But really, it is tough. And that seems so hard to watch them because the guilt feelings if they fall and break a hip or something because you said, fine, you don't want my help, I'm out of here. And then something does happen to them.
So it's setting consequences. So it's like the checkbook is usually a big issue. When people start to get memory loss, they forget to pay their bills. So it's like, okay, Mom, we're going to let you pay the bills for a month. If you do great, we're good. If not, we have to go to plan B and I have to start paying the bills. So you set these, I call them lines in the sand. You know, we go this far, and if we're good, we're good. If we're not, then we have to go to plan B. And we have to agree to go to plan B. Because the parents can't take care of themselves.
That's really, really good advice, Pamela. And actually, I feel like I followed it because my dad, who has said, I don't need your help, and he's working full time, he really doesn't need my help. But I've said, okay, well, here's some rules you do have to follow. When you go to the doctor, you have to let me know. If you go to the hospital or something, you have to call me, even if he has a girlfriend. And I've set down some boundaries and some rules, and I've said, you cannot keep it from me if you're sick or any of these things. And when you need my help, you have to let me know. So we've got this understanding. Whether he'll follow through, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's another story. Now, what if there's been contention in the relationship in the past? What if your parents kicked you out because you used to be on drugs, you got straight? What if they didn't like the person you married, so they said, I don't want to see you? What if there's contention, but then you know you have to help them?
Well, if there's contention and you know you have to help them, you kind of do the same things about setting boundaries. So if it's a past issue that keeps coming up, it's like, Mom or Dad, I'll come and help you, but that's not a subject that we'll discuss. So my dad's a perfect example. When he was older, he was very depressed, and he was kind of nasty, and I would show up, and he'd start complaining. So my boundary with him was, I'm here to help you. The minute you start complaining, I will leave, and I'll come back again another time. So after I did that a couple times, the complaining stopped.
Wow, interesting. See, so you have to really let them know from the outset, because they're pretty smart. I mean, they're adults, and they went through it, and most of them, if they're much older, they've been through a lot, so they know what's going on. Now, so give us some more really good advice for caregiving, because that is such a stressful thing, and you can really lose your mind. I lived with my grandparents taking care of both of them, and it is not an easy thing to do.
No, people think, a lot of people will quit their jobs to caregive, and they think, oh, this is going to be so easy. It's not. Caregivers are the worst people about taking care of themselves. They won't take breaks. They will lose their friendships. They'll lose your life. The biggest thing that I tell caregivers is you can't be a good caregiver if you don't take care of yourself. Now, it's hard for caregivers to listen to that, but you have to take time off. You've got to maintain your friendships, your social life. Whatever you do, don't give up your life to caregive. And I always say, don't quit your job either. Women who quit their jobs to caregive end up needing care when they're older, and there's no money to take care of them because they gave up their income. They gave up their retirement. And then women are at a disadvantage.
Oh, absolutely. We certainly are. And as you say, sometimes you quit your social life, your job, that sort of thing, and it ends up causing resentment. Really, you know, then you resent that you had to do this and that you lost out on things because you were caring for somebody. So give us some other options, things people can do. What if you feel like, because I'm a big fan of the, you know, Polish and the caregivers out there. I think they do the Filipino. I think they do a wonderful job, and they come to this country and they are such good caregivers. What if you think you can't afford them?
So if you think you can't afford a caregiver, you might be surprised. And I'll give a couple of examples. So
and we only have a minute left. I'm sorry, Pamela.
That's okay. So caregivers versus day programs. Many times in-home caregivers can be more expensive than a day program. Somebody can stay there 8 hours a day for what you'd pay for 4 or 5 hours for an in-home caregiver. That's kind of a hidden tip.
Well, that's a good hidden tip, too, because it's definitely something people should look into versus going someplace or moving into a nursing home, which can be, God, $5,000, $7,000 a month, versus having someone come into your house. There's daycare. There's all kinds of things. So if you're caring for somebody you love, know that there are options out there and share that stress with other people. Don't take it on all yourself. Get your siblings to help and other relatives, anyone you can, because it's a special time in life, and it's a time you don't get back with those older relatives. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.